I think you scared him with the business meeting comment on Sunday, Brett. Now we're just going to sneak it in on him. Because whenever we announce business, the sure way to cut attendance on Wednesday night in half is say, we're going to have a business meeting. I'm never sure how to take that. I'm never sure if that's like a, we trust you guys, just do whatever, or it's a like, doesn't matter if we show up or not. I don't know. Anyway, tonight we're going to do something a little bit different. And I want to share with you, we want to share with you tonight the vision that God has laid on our hearts, the hearts of our elders, for the future of our Child Development Center. We have been in much prayer about this, about eight months or so, maybe more now. We have been diligently seeking God's face, that we would know the direction that He would have us go with the CDC. Wanting for the CDC to be as integral and as integrated a part of the ministry of this body as our worship ministry and our children's ministry and our student ministry and our family ministries. And so we began as the elder body to really seek God's face about this about 8 months ago. We as elders had dealt with much that we needed to deal with you know, other ministries within the body, and now it just seemed that it was the right time to consider the CDC. And as we considered the CDC, we diligently were seeking God's face in prayer. And at first, I think with our own desires at heart, and we struggled for a while. And I'll let the elders share that; they'll share that with you in a little bit. But finally, we just came to a place of complete brokenness before the Lord, and we're like, you know what, Lord, we want you to show us. So let me just share with you the scriptural basis for where we're going tonight. First, let me share with you our mission statement, if you knew we had one or not, for our children's ministry. Here's our mission statement for our children's ministry. It says this: our mission is to make disciples of Christ by teaching our children the Word of God in a comprehensive manner and applying it to their lives, trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit to regenerate their hearts and bring them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Basically stated, our mission with our children's ministry is this: pour the Word of God into our children. Pour it and pour it and pour it and pour it into our children in a variety of avenues, in as many ways as is possible. Apply it to them in a variety of different contexts. Apply it to their lives across the board, and trust in the power of God, in His covenant grace to His people, to regenerate our children's hearts and to bring them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. That is the simple, just basic desire of our children's ministry. And that's rooted in a lot of places. Let me just show you a few. If you look at Psalm 145 with me first, I'll show it to you there. In Psalm 145, just turn your Bibles to Psalm 145 and we'll look at it. You're fine. Do not take that baby out. You are good. I'm serious. The baby's not a... Okay. Oh, well, feed her. Okay. look at Psalm 145. Look what it says. I will extol you, my God and King. I will magnify you. I will glory in you. I will just make your name great, my God and King. And I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. So here's the point. The psalmist is saying the habit of my life, the center of my life, the desire of my life is going to be extol and a magnify and to glorify you, Lord. That's going to be warp and woof of everything that I do, is to worship and glory in you. Here's why. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He's exceedingly worthy of praise above everyone and everything else. And His greatness is unsearchable. I will search your greatness. It's unsearchable, but I will continue to search it. You are the great and awesome God. I will extol you. And here's the key for us. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Here's the idea. Every generation, the call of every generation of the people of God is to magnify God for the next, to praise God for the next generation, to show them the praiseworthiness of God to every single generation. That is a responsibility that is upon us. We have been recipients of much grace in this church, have we not? Would you agree? We have been great recipients of our unworthy recipients of a great grace. We have received much, much, much from the Father's hands. And to whom much is given, much is also required. And what is required of us is that we would commend the works of God, that we would magnify God and commend His works, commend God to the next generation, the generation to follow us and the generation to follow that. This is not an optional thing. This is not something that we're hoping. Maybe this is the way that the people of God, this is the way that the church is propagated through history. This is how it works. This is not just feel good time. This is not just a club. This is the church. You know that. I'm preaching to the choir when I'm saying this, but that's the idea. That's one of the root issues here. The second one for me is found, for us, is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look back at Deuteronomy. I could preach on Psalm 145 all night. I won't do that, but look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is the principle that Moses lays down, not just for Israel, but for all the peoples of God, always for the peoples of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at it with me, starting in verse 4. These are familiar words. They should be familiar words. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Here's what he's saying. He's saying, Israel, people of God, Israel of God, you will love the Lord your God with everything that's in you. The demand on you is to love God with the entirety of who you are. The demand that is upon you, the expectation that is upon you from God is this, that you would love Him with everything that is in you. You would delight in Him. He would be your source and your strength, your sustenance, your rock, your salvation, your fortress, your horn of salvation. He would be all of those things to you. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't just say, enjoy God yourself. That's not what it says. Moses goes further. And he says, these words that I command you today, they'll be in your heart. But more than that, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Your life, your words, your speaking, your actions, your everything you do will be gospel saturated. It will be God saturated. It will be truth saturated. You will speak words of grace. You will live words of grace. You will sit and you will do acts of grace. It will all be rooted in Christ. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They should be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The entirety of your life will be governed by this command to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and all your might, to make Him known to the children that are coming after you, to teach these words diligently to your children, to talk of them at all times. The idea is that it's the entirety of your life as the people of God that is to be considered. And now listen, if that's true of your individual life and your life as a family, it is equally true of the church. It is equally true of every ministry that the church puts its hands to. That we would root everything that we do thoroughly in the gospel. Everything. Okay? And then last are the words of Jesus Himself in Mark 10. Look at them with me. In Mark 10, we read these words. Mark 10 is starting in verse 13. They were bringing children to Him, to Jesus, that He might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, He was indignant. Just stop there. Why do you suppose the disciples were keeping the children from coming? Why do you suppose that was their thought? Parents wanted to bring their kids and they were like, well, you know, let's hinder them from bringing the kids. Why do you think they were doing that? They're nuisance. They'd be a distraction to what He was doing. He's got other more important things to do than to deal with these kids. More important pressing matters than to bless children. When Jesus saw it, He was indignant. That means not happy. And He said to them, "Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And He took them in His arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. I love that picture of Christ dealing with these children. It's not that children automatically belong to the kingdom of God. That's not the idea. But it is the childlike faith and the childlike wonder that typifies the heart of those that are in the kingdom. And Jesus doesn't see children as a distraction. He doesn't see them as a nuisance. He sees them as a great blessing. And he sees them as a great joy. And should we not, as a church, see them in the exact same way? I believe we should. Here's the point. We've been given a great stewardship from God. We're to teach our children to love the Lord with all their heart and soul and might. That's the way that the people of God grow from generation to generation. And the greatest investment that we can make is in our children and in our young people. And so, just as we have had some clearly defined goals for our children's ministry to expose them to the gospel early and often, to teach the fundamentals of the faith so that they are not shaken, to identify our children's talents and gifts of grace and encourage them to use them for God's glory, to involve all of our kids in ministry and teach them to be ministers, to help them to see God in everything, that there is no sacred and secular split, but all of life is under God, to build up masculine young women and feminine young women, not according to the world's standards, but according to the standards of God that are set forth in the Scripture. Just as we have those clearly defined goals for our children's ministry, we want now to apply these goals, these purposes, to the wealth of opportunity and responsibility that we have with our CDC and with the children that we have in the CDC. And so tonight, what we want to share with you is the vision that God has granted us for our CDC. And I want to begin that by allowing just a few of the elders, three of them are going to speak to you about this process. We want you to understand the sovereign providence of God in this. We want you to understand clearly how God has worked in this. And we thought that it would be best if the elders spoke to you, the non-pastoral staff elders spoke to you regarding this, some of them. And then we'll introduce to you Adam Renard, and he will share with you the vision that he has for the CDC. So, Jerry, you want to go first?
Okay. As Nick mentioned, you know, we started this process about 8 months or so ago, and we as elders started meeting and praying and talking about the CDC and how we was going to make it an integrated part of the church and the ministries here. And, you know, it started off, and, you know, the best analogy I can give is I hate to work puzzles. So this was like starting to work a new puzzle, and we got a few pieces of a puzzle, and we start putting them together, and don't very many pieces fit very well, and we can't find pieces to go together, and so it was a real frustrating, you know, event that took place, and even as we started putting pieces together and coming up with an idea, and we've come up to some conclusions, and then it just never went anywhere. We could never get anywhere with it, so about all of us came up with the conclusion that we probably just going to have to just close it down because we can't come to any conclusion. We can't get the puzzle pieces of the puzzle to fit together. And then that brought on another situation because we couldn't figure out how to get the puzzles of the pieces back in the box. You know, we were struggling with that even. We could not come up with a conclusion to how we would even start to shut it down. And that entailed a lot of conversation and a lot of meetings and a lot of talk. And so then we decided, okay, we're going to get refocused here and we're going to, you know, pray. And we're going to pray for God to light the path that we need to go down. We're going to pray for God to raise up somebody and just diligently do that. So as we started doing that, it was amazing. Not that we hadn't been praying before and not that we haven't been meeting and talking about it, but as we come to that one conclusion that we didn't know how to shut it down, then we started praying, you know, for God to raise somebody up, and it was amazing that all of a sudden pieces started coming together. And that was just God's hand at work. You know, he brought us to that point for a reason. And then he started providing the pieces that we needed for that puzzle because we didn't have them before. And it all started coming together. And, you know, he's still providing pieces. It's not that we're done with it. By no means. This is just the start, but But he's still, you know, his sovereign hand is at work, and how he strategically placed, you know, Adam in the position that he was in. And you know, it was only a few weeks after we started praying for a direction for God to raise someone up that Adam's name come up. And we're like, you know, well, I don't know. Would he be interested in doing it? Is he the person? And then it's amazing how after we met with Adam and how God was working in his life and preparing him for this very purpose too. And it's just been an amazing process to see God's hand at work. And it's hard to explain just in a couple of minutes, but it's definitely a work by God. It's God's sovereign hand just molding and shaping and taking us down the path that he would have us to go. And, you know, that's all I have to say about it. That's all I can say in a couple minutes and try to come to a conclusion. But I don't know who's coming next. John.
Well, you've heard a little bit about things that have been going on with CDC. You're going to hear a lot more, I'm sure. But I just want to kind of take a little side trip here. For me, I just can't help but marvel. I mean, I just stand in awe at the way the Lord works. You took a handful of people 8 or 9 months ago, all right, that already knew what the right answer was. And as Jerry said, we struggled and we looked and we did everything we could think of. And finally we got to the point where David was when he said, "Oh Lord, make your ways known to me." And everything just started to flow. It just started to come together. It was obvious that the Lord had prepared, not just within the 8 months that we were talking and discussing about things, but I'm booming, I think.
No, you're not.
I need to be like this. Oh, okay. All right. Well, that shows how good I am at this, right? But for me, it was just, for 8 months we'd been in this process, but you can stand and you can look at how the Lord had been preparing folks for years for a particular moment in time, which was the moment that we'd been working to ourselves. And again, I just marvel at that. Taking folks that knew what the answer was, all right, showing them that they didn't have a clue, all right, and then laying out a marvelous plan. And I don't know how to say it any way other than that. Like I said, you hear a lot more about the CDC and other aspects of it, but for me, it's just seeing the hand of the Lord at work is just a marvelous thing.
Seventeen, 18 years ago, when this church had a vision to establish a child development center, the main reason, the main thrust behind that was to provide an environment that parents could bring their kids that would be biblically based. And for years, it has run as such. But in the last few months, as we have deliberated in what the outcome of the CDC would be, trying to get it fully implemented into the rest of our children's ministry, we, as elders, kept running, as Jerry and John had said, we kept running up into the concerns about what is going to be the most God-honoring way to move forward. And because of our, I guess, somewhat short-sighted frustration, you know, we saw the easiest solution to be in terms of shutting it down. But as the other gentleman said, we can never come to a way that would honor God in terms of closing this ministry down, because we knew it would impact not only our congregation, but most importantly, families in the community and children that we have come under our stewardship to lead. So we were always unanimous in trying to follow God's leading on this, but when we removed ourselves out of our moved back away from our preconceived notions and allowed him the opportunity to lead us, then amazing things began to happen in terms of, Jerry said, the pieces of the puzzle falling into place. And we are called to take a step of faith one step at a time. And today is that next step of faith in terms of the Child Development Center. And I am with much anticipation, seeing how God is going to work within this ministry and the lives and the souls that will be impacted by it.
Thanks, Les. Turn this down a little, because I'm louder than he is. I realized that I didn't introduce Adam to you yet. I'm sorry. You all know Adam Renard. Adam Renard has been working with our children's ministry for quite some time here. And Adam was a teacher in Roanoke County, a very well-respected teacher in the Roanoke County school system. And God has, as we prayed, as we sought God's face, as we desired that he would raise up for us a person from this body that could lead and integrate these ministries together. Jerry had mentioned that Adam came up, and we just thought, there's no way he's going to be interested in doing this. You know, he's already a teacher. Teachers, you know, he's not going to want to do this. And amazingly, that is exactly where God was working. So, Adam, where are you? Come on down here, man, and share with the body your vision for the CDC. Come on.
Hot microphone.
Wow.
Okay. Hi. Adam Renard. How you doing? Excellent. Okay. Less 8 months? You know, I sat here and I looked at it, and it's been about 8 years for me. I started college in the year 2000 at Ohio State University looking at marketing. I'm really good at recognizing people, trends, groups, that kind of thing. And I really thought, this is going to be where I go. It's going to be where I go. And I was back home talking to an elementary teacher of mine, and she looked at me and she said, "You're not nearly cutthroat enough for that, Adam. You can't do that." And she's like, "You need to think about working with kids." And I spent a lot of time thinking about that. I say thinking because at that time, I had no idea who the Lord was. I didn't have any idea what the capacity of God was. And after a lot of thought about it, I was just like, there was a pull in that direction. So I looked into education at Ohio State, and it wasn't very good. And my parents, when I made that announcement, also started putting together information, being caring parents that they are. And I ended up at Bowling Green State University, which in Ohio is the teaching university. And in Ohio, you had to get a degree in early childhood education or grade 4 through 9, which doesn't make a whole ton of sense from this perspective, looking at it from here. And I never really understood it, because early childhood education goes from preschool to 3rd grade. And I just wanted to be an elementary teacher. I didn't want to do anything that involved preschool. I always joked with my wife that there was no way on earth that I would do anything with preschool unless I ran the show. Anyway, so as we moved forward to that, I met my wife on a very cold morning because of a flat tire. And she was there to save me, and it started a relationship of support and love that I have just been blessed with. And during that time, I received the call from the Lord that he was there and he would be with us. And my wife and I embarked on a journey where we decided that we didn't want to leave or stay in Ohio. We didn't want to be there. We literally looked at a list of all 50 states, started marking them off, and somehow ended up in Virginia, and somehow ended up in Roanoke. We always joke that it's the only reason we stopped here is because it's that big on a map. So here we are. And we ended up in Roanoke County Schools, which was a blessing. I had a lot of support there. And one of the major supports that I had there was the principal, former principal. Her name was Tommy Ann Perdue. And she saw that I was a very good storyteller. And she said, you know, you really got to think about this. You really have to think about going out and telling stories and doing this. They make better money than you do. I'm like, okay, well, maybe. And at that time, my wife and I had left the church we were at previously and started coming here. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about quitting my job and becoming a storyteller full time. And I go to Nick and I'm like, I'm thinking about doing this, thinking about quitting my job. He goes, oh, Adam, working with kids. You know, that's something you've got to think about doing. I mean, that's a calling. And I said, yeah, I know, but I wouldn't be quitting. I'd be storytelling. And he kind of smiled funny. And he said, Adam, we've been thinking about and praying about needing a storyteller in our new rotational Sunday school for 2 months. Would that be something you'd be interested in? And I said, yeah, I'd do that. And that began something that I told my wife I would never do, yet another thing I told her I would never do, which is work with children in a church because I work with them all day and all week. So I didn't want to spend, you know, Sunday morning working with kids. And that has been the greatest blessing ever. Working downstairs with Jill and formerly with Donna, and it's just been wonderful. And last May, I received everything that I wanted from education and was placed in a fifth grade classroom, and was gung-ho, ready to go, very encouraged, started out the year with like a ball of fire, and ran into testing, which is just appalling to me. And I teach in a school where we have to work very hard to keep the test scores up. And all of a sudden, it didn't become so much about teaching, it became about teaching kids to make the right choice when they're given four choices. And as that happened, I've learned from Nick and Eddie and Brett about wanting to speak for just about Christ and to speak of his name and to take his name everywhere I go. And I sat in my classroom with these 10-year-olds who are talking about the most appalling things at age 10. And all they need is Christ. And if I give it to them, I'm fired. And I hated that. And I remember the night very well that I went up to Jerry Grubb and I said, Jerry, I'm struggling. I'm not honoring God with my teaching and I'm frustrated and I'm banging my head against the wall and it just need to give these kids what they want and what they need and they don't even know it. And he kind of smiled at me. And over the next couple of days, I was approached about this. And the more I thought about it, and the more I prayed about it, and the more I looked at what God had done in my life, this became a very clear road. And so my leap of faith begins January 5th. As for the vision of the CDC, which is where we need to go, I have a question. Actually, four questions. First of all, how many of you were aware that there is a CDC in West Salem Baptist Church? Raise your hand. Excellent. How many of you have ever been on that part of the building? Raise your hand. Excellent. How many of you have a child currently or know someone as a child that attended the CDC? Raise your hand. There's a few less hands there. How many of you, if I had to ask you, could tell me why there is a CDC in this building? Look around you. Not that many hands. You see, to me, the CDC is an opportunity to expose children to the truth of God's character, as opposed to what our world applauds today. If you look at it, we have an opportunity to expose them to God's character before they're even approached by the programming of things like the Disney Channel. We have the opportunity to share with them and offer them God's offer of grace and forgiveness before they even have a chance to view what our world has as increasingly rated R PG-13 movies. We have a chance to expose them to the character of God and his morals before they even have a chance to be desensitized by a video game where they get to run around and shoot people. My vision for this starts with language. First of all, we have a CDC. We don't have a child care center. We have a CDC. CDC means Child Development Center. When you say daycare, what that boils down to is glorified babysitting. We don't have that here. What we have is a CDC, which means we need to work as hard as we can to help these children develop. Now, typically what that means is educational. That means Christian worldview, helping them develop literacy. That means helping them develop social skills and etiquette, helping them develop a worldview of math skills and art and music. That's what we need to be working toward. We also have this very important side note. In my mind, it's the main thing. Our CDC is in a gospel-driven church. It does not happen to meet in a gospel-driven church. It is part of a gospel-driven church. In those terms, what that means to all of us is that we have a responsibility to cultivate a view of Christ, to introduce his grace and his forgiveness to these children at an early age and help build it up as we go along. And we have to pump that scripture into them so that they understand what it means to be a child in God's eyes. That is what we need to do. Now, my ultimate goal for a CDC, the ultimate goal in my mind is to send children from our four-year-old group into kindergarten and make kindergarten teachers pull out their hair, not knowing what to do with these kids. Kids who can read sight words and know their letters and know the sounds of the letters and understand that you can start putting those sounds together to create words. Several preschool teachers that I've already talked to have said that the latest studies show that children can start learning letters at age 2. That they start absorbing it because they're sponges. And if you start presenting it to them, they start learning it. So there's no reason that we can't send children into kindergarten with that foundation in place, but also sending kids into kindergarten that know about God's grace. We need to offer them every avenue, every opportunity, every chance that we can to understand God's purpose, so that one day they can take God's purpose forward, so that from the age of 5, all they want to be is another or a very own a Nick Schaefer or a Brett Williams. They want so that they want to be supportive wives and husbands, and so that they understand what that means. How do we do this? How do we move forward with this? Well, we start at small ages. We have infants, we have toddlers, and to me, what I learned when I was in school, learning about infant and toddler development, and learning about all those things that I never, ever dreamed I would need until my daughter was born, now I understand that a little better, is that I want to see these kids in an environment that is rich with sound. It's rich with color. It's good for kids. It is good for them to have something to look at, to have something to see, and to see that contrast between a blue and an orange, or to hear the music of a symphony. It's proven scientifically. God has taken this and made it so that when they hear things that are dynamic at a young age, it helps their brains work better. Praise God for that, because I just think that's astounding. I also want to make an environment that encourages parents to visit their infants. I don't care if you're nursing or if you're not nursing. Come. If you're in your lunch hour and you don't know what to do, and you just don't want to be around somebody who's spewing venom about how bad their job is, come see your kid. Because they need your, they need to hear your voice. They need to, you know, smell you. It's weird, but it just helps them. Comfort. It's amazing. So come. We jump to the two-year-olds. And as I said, two-year-olds can start learning letters. Now, I'm not telling you that they'll know their alphabet and they'll know their sounds and they understand that, but you can certainly teach them the alphabet song so they're not completely oblivious to the fact that there is a letter A. I'm not telling you that they should know that A is the beginning of alligator or apple or is somewhere in the word chrysanthemum. Just that, sorry, vocabulary man, my apologies. They need to be introduced to that. They need to be read to on a regular basis, both from the Bible and books that help supplement ideas in the Bible. You know, they need to know Noah. Well, we tell the story of Noah to kids all the time, but do we ever tell them how many animals there really are? Do we ever tell them when everything came two by two exactly what that means? I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if you told the story of Noah to a bunch of kids and you brought in a giant refrigerator box and you tried to fit all of them with two of their favorite stuffed animals in that box to show them just how cramped it really was, to make them understand it just a little bit more? The other end of it is that they, at that age, need to be introduced to the idea of respect and sharing and caring about each other. It's something that I don't think they get enough of at that age, and we just write it off as their terrible twos. As I said, they're sponges. They'll learn. If you do simple things like just teaching them how to introduce themselves to somebody, a two-year-old can do that. So that's twos. Threes take a step forward. Threes, they get letters, and they get sounds. Maybe not words, but they get letters and sounds. They also need to continue to be read to. They need to be continued to shown, be shown pictures of the world. If you're telling them a story that takes place in Egypt, show them pictures of Egypt. Show them what it looks like. Expand that worldview and make them understand that this world is just a little bit bigger than their bedroom. The other thing with three-year-olds is that we have to begin to give them the foundations of grace. We have to. They're old enough to start getting that. They can have conversations with you. Most of them are very one-sided conversations, but they do listen. If you tell them right stories, if you tell them God's story, they'll listen and they'll know it. I would love to see a generation of children that were told about God's grace at age 3 and where they would be at age 53. Four-year-olds are one step from school. They're one step away from kindergartners. And at that age, and I've seen it in preschools, at that age, they can be doing sight words. They can be doing basic math in a very hidden way. No, you don't sit them down in front of a piece of paper that says 2 plus 2 equals 4. But you give them two cookies. And then you give them two other cookies, and you tell them how many they have. Or you ask them how many they have. Eventually, they'll be able to tell you it's 4. So that when they get to that classroom and all the other kids are reviewing 2 plus 2 equals 4, they already know it. Because they remember cookies. Also, that group of children can very easily have an entire themed week. You can tell them a story on Monday, and you could even go 2 weeks, 3 weeks, so that they better understand it. You could tell them the story of Elijah, or at least some of the more famous parts of it. You could tell them the story of Moses and the burning bush, and you could revolve an entire week or two of activities around them to help them understand it just a little bit more, so that they have a knowledge of it. The other thing that you can do, and I think it would be great, being someone who still gets lost in my Bible, is making sure that they know where it is. Just find it. Not necessarily memorizing numbers, but knowing an order is helpful. I know when, especially with some of the minor prophets, if Nick says to turn to those pages, I get a little lost. So it's never too early to start with that kind of thing. The after-school program is something that very near and dear to my heart, because in my school, or I guess in my former school, we have an after-school program, and I see how it's run, and I know how I would run it differently. In my mind, an after-school program should be about getting your homework done. It should be about doing a daily devotional and learning about God, and it should be about having some playtime after all of that is finished. Now, not so much that you're a drill sergeant, but helping them finish their homework allows them an opportunity at night to get closer with their families. Something that we are in dire need of in this world right now. Another thing that I would like to do, or like to see happen with the after-school program, is not only introducing them to concepts from the Bible and stories and heroes of the Bible, but as in line with our church, heroes of the Reformation, people that aren't mentioned in the Bible because it was beyond them, past their time, that lived their faith and as examples of God's love and grace. They need to learn about those people just as much as they need to learn about the people in the Bible, in my opinion. It would also be very neat to see them reading through stories or being read to stories by Christian authors such as C.S. Lewis. There's no reason that we can't be teaching them the ideas of God's grace and reading to them the Chronicles of Narnia and watching them make the connections or leading them to make those connections. It's possible. From a staff perspective, I really want to instill with anybody who works here that we are shepherds. We're not babysitters. We're not even teachers. We're shepherds. And this is our flock. And we need to take care of them. That we need to teach them. That we need to encourage them to ask questions. And we need to have as many answers as we can, but we need to answer truthfully. And if we don't know an answer, let's go look it up and find it. And let's do it with them. There's no reason to think that just because they're younger than us doesn't mean they can't know something that we don't. And there's no reason to think that we can't all learn together. We need to be shepherds. Another thing that we need to do is we need to be just as engaging with the families that come into this building as we are with the children. It needs to be a welcoming place for parents. It's not a, oh, this is your kid, thanks, see ya. It needs to be an open door. And it needs to be an open line of communication, because that's something that doesn't happen enough in schools, in preschools, anywhere. It's not an us versus them. Parents should be comfortable dropping it off, or their children off, going about the rest of their day and being able to come back and have a conversation about what happened. As for parents, I would love to create an environment that is informative to parents. I've given a couple of ideas to people about taking pictures on a daily basis and hanging them on a wall someplace that is centralized so that you can see what happened that day. I would also love to see an opportunity or a place or a chance where parents can come in and teach. Not necessarily major, but like read to the kids or bring pictures of work or something along those lines that shares who you are and what you do. These are all major ideas. They're big ideas. I'm a big picture person. And it's going to take a while. And it's going to take a lot of effort and a lot of work to get all of this going. But I'm faithful that God is going to see us through all of this. And I'm faithful that all of this stuff that he's given to me, that he can give to all of you as well. One of the things that I want to be understood is that the truths that we need to teach in the CDC need to be in line with the truths that are taught in this church. This church has taught me more truth in 18 months than I learned in 26 years prior to it. And one way that I want to do that is I want to make sure that we break it down so that it's age appropriate and figure out what the best time to present the different aspects of the gospel are so that they understand it to the fullest. Another thing that needs to happen is that there needs to be a unity between the church and the CDC. There needs to be no wall, no division, no veil between the two of them. It needs to be an open door for both of them. Nick needs to be able to go down and sing with the kids. We need to be able to come up and ask for help when we need it. And it needs to work that way because it all says West Salem Baptist on it. I personally am a member of the core team for the children's ministry here. And I believe wholeheartedly in what is happening downstairs. And I believe that God is working in it. And I believe that it needs to spread. I'm going to work very closely with Jill Higginbotham and Brett Williams to make sure that the decisions that we make are in line and all moving in the same direction. Because those disagreements can't exist. And if you're child is here on Sunday morning, what they're learning in the CDC should supplement that. So I'm hoping, praying, and just bent on the idea of working with those two, with Eddie, and with Nick, and with Marshall, and with Gretchen in the back, to have opportunities for them to come down and meet the kids so that they can be a part of it too. There's no reason they shouldn't be. I'm going to close with three challenges. My first challenge is for the people that are already part of this body. You need to be involved. And you need to be open to being involved. I don't want to hear, oh, this isn't my calling. It's not my calling. Well, Nick read to you scripture that shows that it's all of our calling. We all need to be a part of this. Now, I'm not saying that you need to quit your job and come work at the CDC. I'm saying you need to be open to coming and volunteering, reading, coming and sharing. You know, if you're a fireman, come in with all your gear on and watch their faces. They will glow for weeks. It would be phenomenal. Just be prepared to be involved somehow. You know, I would love for some of you to come join our staff. I would love for it. But I just ask that you be open to coming and helping. Even if it's just bringing a, you know, juice and a snack, it'd still be a neat opportunity for you to be seen by those kids. For anybody who is here that is currently on staff, I haven't met you yet. I haven't. I look forward to. But I haven't. My challenge to you is to start thinking of yourself as a shepherd. To start coming to this idea that your job is not a light job. It's not a clock-in, clock-out job. It is not a job where you come in and, you know, and then you leave and you go home and you never think about it. I'm not going to try to make you full-time teachers who go home and grade and come up with lesson plans or anything of the sort. But I do encourage you, please start thinking of yourselves as more, because you are. My other side of the challenge for you is to invite you to this church. I don't know what church you call home, but if you're going to be part of this staff, please consider being part of this body too. Please consider learning here. Please consider putting your tithe into the church that needs your support. Please consider putting your butt in that pew on a Wednesday and a Sunday night. Just consider it. Parents, my challenge to you is the same. Your children are going to be here, and they're going to be learning ideas. They're going to be learning truths about God's grace and love. As I said, we moved here. I don't know if I said it. We moved here in 2003, and we've tried several churches between then and now. And I have never learned more truth about God's word and God's grace than I've learned in 18 months here. I can't speak against other churches, and I won't. But I can guarantee you that if you're here, you will hear nothing but truth. And if you hear that truth, it will allow you better to come alongside your children and guide them in God's grace. Just consider that. That's all I have.
Could you stay up for a second?
We want to open it up now for just a few minutes for questions. If you have questions, we'll like take them and then we'll. Yes, Tabby Sheeler.
I would love to. That would be an amazing, amazing opportunity just to have a half day preschool.
That is already.
Is it in?
Yeah.
Excellent. We do have that, Tabby Sheeler.
But not academically based.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. A lot of the things that we will have to do, I would imagine, would have to start next school year. There's a lot that has to be done for preparation and training for that kind of thing, groundwork to be made. So, and my first goal is to get to know the people that I work with. So, yeah. What else?
Well,
anybody else? What was wrong with the way it was before? Specifically, wow, who wants to handle that? Would you like to take that, Marsh? Since you've been most intimately involved with the CDC? One of the main issues has been the fact that it hasn't been intimately integrated with this body, or the direction of the church, or the goals and desires of this body, the desire that we'd be a gospel-driven, gospel-saturated church. And so, rather than merely having a CDC to serve as a daycare or a child center, or even a good one by secular standards, that's fine, but that's not the desire of our elder body or the desire of our church. We would desire instead to have one that is rooted intimately in the gospel and that teaches the word of God. The church, the one thing that the church can do that no one else can do is teach the gospel. And so we're going to teach the gospel. And so every ministry that we do, whether it's one that impacts our community directly or one that impacts our church specifically as a body, will be rooted in that. But hold on just one second.
Marsh.
I think you answered it. One of the major things we had to decide whether the Child Development Center was going to be a business or a ministry. As a business, there are a dime a dozen. There, in every neighborhood, has a daycare center. As a ministry of this church that is gospel-centered, that is cross-centered, where we're worried about the children's eternal future, the foundation is going to be planted here, as we're called to do. We can teach them things to be successful in this world, but if they're going to spend eternity in hell, it makes no difference. We're going to make a true difference in the children's lives. We're going to introduce them to the gospel, which is the only thing that can change them. If that is different from now, that is because this church is different from what it's been in the past. In the past 3 years, we have moved to being cross-centered. The Bible says that we're to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. It is a difficult thing to do, but we're willing to do it. We're able to do it only in Christ's strength, and we're willing to share that with, I assume you're a parent if you ask that question, we're willing to do that for your child. Excuse me. Okay. Thank you. Okay, well, and I think the other big thing, and the real big thing that we came to, is that there's very little integration between this body that you see here this evening, as far as our parents using the Child Development Center, as far as our people being employed there. There is a big gap, and the reason is, number one, because God raised him up, but number two, because we desire that integral part. I've been here for 15 years. I have desired it to be an integral part, and seemingly it has always been us and them, even though I had a child in there, even though I have friends that have children in there. And I have tried to do that. We, to be honest with you, have always been somewhat understaffed. And we're hoping that through this, we can raise people up in this congregation that God would call, as they did Adam, to serve there, to pour their hearts into the children that we're gifted to have here. And that's the reason that we're going in this direction. Did that answer your question? Anybody else? Yes, sir. Let me introduce to you to the new Child Development Center as of January 5th. This is Adam Renard. Yes, sir. Are you speaking in the school system now?
When we were offered this position, or when I was offered this position, Kathleen and I immediately went and looked at what the honorable way to get out of that job was. And the only thing that was required by Roanoke County was a 2 weeks notice and the approval from the school board with a proper reason. When I talked to other people, I found out that the only thing they required, or think is improper, would be a disagreement that was never tried to be resolved or something along those lines. So as we talked about this, I handed in my resignation on December 5th, I believe it was. And since I'm out until January 5th, or since they're out for Christmas starting Friday through January 5th, that gives them 4 weeks to find somebody to replace me. And actually, they've already done it. So that's right. Yeah, so I was expendable, sort of. Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Here you can use this. The question was, if you didn't hear it, and I have trouble hearing, was how was he going to get out of his contract as a fifth grade teacher at Roanoke County? And he has done that equitably in their eyes, as well as God's eyes. Anybody else? We have the capacity right now with our teaching staff. The question is, how many children in the Child Development Center now? We have the capacity with our teaching staff and state licensure requirements and space issues for 120 children. We're close to that. I don't know the exact number. Anybody else? Well, I'd like to thank everybody that's not a part of the congregation for coming out tonight. We're going to have a business meeting with our congregation. If you have any questions, my name is Marshall. I'm the associate pastor. Until Adam gets on board, call me. I'll meet with you. I'm going to go down and see the employees in the Child Development Center. We have taped this. We have made CDs of this for parents who could not be here this evening. We have some employees here. I'll be down there to answer your questions tomorrow. And just want to thank you, and if I could close this part of the meeting in prayer. God, we just come to you and thank you for your glory, and thank you for your grace, and thank you for the awesome opportunity you've given us to lead children to you, to care for children's needs, to care for families' needs, Lord, that we would want everything that we say and that we do, all of our words and all of our actions, to be to your glory. Lord, and this church would be pleasing to God, which many times means that it can't be pleasing to man. And Lord, we're called as pastors to do that, to follow you and to lead this congregation. Lord, as Adam said, even the employees in the Child Development Center would be considered as shepherds. Lord, for we're responsible for these children's hearts. We're responsible for their lives while we're here, but also we have an opportunity to share in their eternal destiny. God, that is a great burden that we can only do in your strength. Lord, so I thank you for your love. I thank you for your death on the cross of those who would believe. Lord, I thank you for being our Savior and Lord. And Lord, I just publicly right now would like to give the CDC over to your care totally. Lord, and thank you for raising up Adam to be its lead shepherd. Lord, strengthen him. Lord, bring more families here that are attracted to the gospel, that are attracted to the word, that would reinforce what is actually the father's duty at home to lead the children. And Lord, I pray for single moms who use the ministry, Lord, they have the toughest job in the world. Lord, that this would be an opportunity for us to serve them as they lead their families, Lord. But that you would be at the center, Lord, that you would remain there. And Lord, that we would lovingly share your gift with others. And Lord, if there's any way for us to minister to the families that are currently there, or the employees that are currently there, Lord, I just ask you to make it abundantly clear to us that we can serve you and through your love of us, Lord, to love others. It's in your mighty and precious, holy and powerful and glorious name I pray. Amen.